Again, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to do a commentary on day 84. I'm going to read that verse from James again. It's James chapter 1, verse 17, and it reads, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly light, who does not change like shifting shadows." I was thinking of each of those words, every good and perfect. And I was thinking also about good gifts and about gifts in themselves, because one of the things that I had to come to understand after I came to know Jesus is that he had given me talents, even before I knew him. He had given me abilities before I knew Jesus as my Savior. But after I accepted him as my Savior and my Lord, I was also given gifts. And the gifts are designed to nurture and equip others. And they are also designed to draw others to the true source and not to plastic models. And so every gift, and I looked at the word good, and good means excellent and honorable and useful. And so I think in terms of my abstinence, definitely my abstinence is a good and perfect gift. It's good, it's excellent, it's honorable, it's useful, it helps me to show up for my life, it helps me to suit up for my life. And it talks about the word perfect. And in the Bible, perfect means complete. It also has a maturation aspect about it. And so I need to have a perfect gift in order to see the blessing. And so it says that every good and perfect gift is from above. And all that is truly good and edifying can be traced back to the Lord. And that verse also says that it comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And I love it that I can depend on God. God, unchangeable love brings stability to my life. And I was thinking again about this reading and thinking about my abstinence, because I am grateful for my abstinence. I will not... I don't bat an eyelid. I had a history of, it took me a while to get abstinent. I first even heard about abstinence in 1977. I was pregnant with my first child, and had come down. We had moved down to Texas, and I am from Indiana, and I was struggling with food again. I mean, really, truly, just struggling very, very hard. And I had, up until that time, had been going to a place where you pay money in order to regulate your food. And it had worked for a while, but then it had stopped working. And I was desperate, because what was happening is that other people were starting to see that I was having trouble with the food, and that was very embarrassing to me. And when we had just moved, we didn't have that much money. My husband was a graduate student, and so we didn't have that money. I wasn't working. I was pregnant. And so I couldn't go back to that place where I needed to pay money. And so I put a little ad in the paper, and I asked them, I was trying to decide, I decided that I would start my own little group. And that was the first time that I heard about the 12-step program, or came to an understanding of it, because what happened is that someone answered my ad, and she said, you know, what you are describing, we already have, you know, and why don't you come and join us? And so I went to my first 12-step meeting for overeating. And I went there, and When I went there, they actually gave me a plan, and it's a plan that I follow now, but when I saw that plan, it was like, no way. It was no way that I was going to follow that plan, because I could not understand that. Of course I couldn't follow the plan if I was going to try to do it myself. But what they were offering to me was that they were offering me a community. And I did not understand that. I did not understand that I needed to have support in order to get over this problem that I was having. And so I left not to come back. I didn't come back until after the baby was born and I had gained even more weight. I was eventually dealing with about 70 pounds of you know, being overweight that I had to keep dealing with. And when I came back to my second meeting, I was very, very desperate to learn what they would teach me. But and I eventually did learn. I eventually realized that it was a program of recovery and that I had to dig deeper and find out what was causing me to overeat. And eventually I started working the steps of the program, working on the emotional part. But there was a big step that I didn't really deal with, and that was step three. Step three talked about turning over your will and your life over to the care of God. And I tried it, but eventually I went back to the food. And it took me almost 10 years, before I found again abstinence, physical abstinence. And at that time we had moved to New York City. And I found a group who showed me how to get abstinent again physically. They showed me the skills of having clean abstinence. And I am so grateful for that. I can tell you, I am very, very grateful for the skills that they have taught me about abstinence. And I tried to pass that on to others. But I have to also tell you that 4 years into that abstinence, I saw a strange thing happening to me. And that was that I was beginning to have fear of losing my abstinence. Such a fear that it was almost getting me kind of a neurosis almost. It was, they call it in the group that I go, they call it specking and flecking, where you are so fearful that you're going to lose your abstinence that you are, in this kind of a craziness. And it almost becomes a worship. You worship the gift and not the giver. And that fear brought something to my mind. It was like, this is crazy. I'm going to go back to overeating, or I need to find some relief. Something is not happening right here. And I remember talking to people in the program and asking them, what should I do? Well, they said, just keep praying. I was in a church at that time, but I didn't know the Lord as my Savior. And they did, they encouraged me to call out to the Lord. And I like it because it's a verse actually in the Bible. It's in Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. And I truly called out to God, even though I didn't know Jesus as Lord. I called out in all sincerity because I did not want to lose my abstinence. Like I said, I was about 4 years abstinent at that point. It was 1991. And even though I was a little squirrely with my abstinence, it was still the best thing that I knew at that point. But I called out to the Lord, and what happened is that He directed me to where I could truly hear the gospel, because my church, even though it was a very nice social place to be, there were not leaders who taught me the word of God, who taught me the gospel. And so the Lord brought me to Christian Radio, And on Christian radio, I started listening to Bible teachers. And I can remember in 1991, it was the fall of 1991, for some reason I was home from school, and because I'm a teacher, and I was home, and I was in my living room, and I heard this preacher preach about Jesus. He always liked to use the word, he used that phrase, the Roman cross. He said he went to that Roman cross because of your sin and mine. And all of a sudden, things started falling into place for me. I came to understand about my sinfulness, that my overeating was an indicative of my sinful nature. It was that sinful nature in me that kept me going back to that which did not truly nurture. And I heard that gospel, and I'm telling you, I fell on my knees and I cried out. I just said, Lord, please, please save me. And he did, and he, boy, did he save me. You know, he brought me to his word, and that I know his word is truth. And so that I know that I have been called to always point people back to the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, I learn about the true gift. And the true gift is the gift of Jesus. God himself came down to be our Savior. And he came down as his Son, Jesus. And there's a lot that I can learn, again, about Jesus as I read his word. And so I read his word to learn more about Jesus, this gift. And as I learn more about Jesus, I see the gift of the Father. I see the Father's face and his loving kindness and his plan for my life. And I also know that Jesus was given to me to be a guidepost. I need to follow in his footsteps. And in order to follow in his footsteps, I need the Holy Spirit. And that that has been placed in me, again, as I have accepted Jesus. And as I read in the Bible, I learn so much. And one of the things that I learn is the nature of humanness. And by looking especially at the Jewish nation, where the Jewish people were chosen by the Lord to be, as I've heard told, kind of like a billboard, so that the Lord can show how if people who were chosen, if he poured his love into them and they in turn love him back, what a wonderful thing could happen. And so I see that the Lord indeed kept his part of the promise, how he poured his love into that nation. But what happened is that as things went well for that nation, those people tended to forget God. And they got into their pleasure, and they forgot to call on the Lord. And that was happening to me in my abstinence. Like I said, I had at that point 4 years of abstinence. I was clean, I was clear, you know, it was like, whoa, this is great, you know, look at me, my body had gotten to a normal size. I was beginning to get very capable, because in order to stay abstinent, I had to be very disciplined. And so that discipline was flowing over into the other area. But the truth is that I started to use my abstinence as a false god, worshiping that and not the giver. God indeed is the giver, and I must worship the giver and never the gift. If I start worshiping the gift, I will be jeopardizing the gift, actually, because eventually the Lord is going to have to take it away. Just like he had to send the Jewish people into exile, because they have turned their back on him, they have forgotten him, the Lord was going to eventually have to take away that abstinence from me. And boy, I'm grateful, oh my goodness, that he did not have to get to that point, that I learned to see that it is all about Jesus, that Jesus is the bottom line. He is the Messiah. He is the chosen one. He is the anointed one. He is the one that the Father has given to me, and I must give him the praise. I don't even give my recovery the praise, okay? The recovery is a gift from him, and the bottom line is the Lord. He is the Lord, and I have to focus on him and follow him. And that's why it's important for me to stay in the Word of God, because again, I learn a lot from those who have gone before me. And as I stay in the Word of God, I learn a lot about Jesus. And I just need to close in saying, by saying this, I'm hoping that I'm not confusing you, because abstinence is imperative. As I've said often, over and over again, the Bible is very clear. I cannot serve two masters. Either I will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. So abstinence is extremely important, and especially back-to-back abstinence. And like I said, it's not going to look the same way for each one of us, but I can tell you that there are some common threads that I see for people who have long-term abstinence. One is that I do see that they do have accountability. The thing about the overeating is that it is a crafty foe, that what we have to eat every day. And for me, not to have guidance, not to have someone who is willing to help me to see through those blind spots, is just a setup. I see it happening over and over again. Also, I believe in my heart there is no perfect food plan. So what I need to do is to embrace the one that he gives to me. It's a lot like a marriage, and I had to find that in my marriage. You know, by the grace of God, my husband and I have been married now for 36 years. And I can tell you, I can remember in the second year of my marriage, it was one of the hardest years that I had, because I had this realization that I had made a big mistake, you know, because after 2 years I could begin to see, that my husband was not perfect. Now, granted, I wasn't perfect either, but of course, I could only see it in him. And so it was like, oh my goodness, what have I done, you know? And it was a hard, hard year for me, because, you know, I was beginning to doubt, beginning to question. And I noticed the same thing sometimes with people in abstinence, that the Lord has given them a beautiful plan of recovery, not necessarily a perfect plan of abstinence, but it's one that they can live with. And it's one that's going to take time for them to learn. And yet they start chasing rainbows of looking at another place. And so I'm not touting that at all. You know, find a way that you can eat that will keep your body lean and healthy. Give God the praise for it. Work with somebody as you do it. And turn your mind and your heart to the Lord. Stay in his word. Stay very prayerful. And I can tell you that you will truly have a life that is second to none, because it is leading to eternal life. And that's what we're talking about. Because you have Jesus, you have eternal life. And he has given you a great commission. And as you are abstinent, you are strengthened to go out and do the work that he has for you to do. But I'm going to stop there. I'm going to ask our shepherd, Stephanie, if she could share with us on these verses in this reading. But Stephanie?